Buongiorno, it's me, Sophia. Today's episode is not a regular episode of This Body. I'm dropping my new limited podcast here on This Body's feed for you to partake of. It's called Luigi's Book Club, where I marinate on and meditate on the Goodreads bookshelf of one Luigi Maggioni. This first episode is on The Lorax. I hope you like it. And if you do, you can pop over to your podcast app, type in Luigi's Book Club, and subscribe to the feed from there. See you soon, dolls. Enjoy. Hey, Tiger. This podcast contains language and explicit themes. Ciao Bella, and welcome to Luigi's Book Club. I'm your host, Sophia Caramella, and this is a show where we delve into the Goodreads bookshelf of one Luigi Maggioni, a man from Baltimore who was a private citizen with a private life until the other day, when he walked up to United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson outside the Hilton in Manhattan and, using a ghost gun, shot him dead in the street. In an instant, the whole internet was lit aflame. But if you're listening to this, you know that. You know all about that. You know that health insurance in America is a straight-up crime against humanity. You may see your money taken from you month after month. You have claims denied. You may not have health insurance because it's too damn expensive, which leaves you living on the edge 24/7, which probably makes you feel very, very anxious indeed.
It's bad for the people.
You may support Luigi Maggioni's rather drastic action. You may be horrified. I'm a bit of both, really. Upon hearing of the murder, I definitely didn't give a shit about the death of a health insurance gatekeeper millionaire at all. I felt a small pang for the people who loved him, and then a moment later a deeper one for what they are set to endure in the future. It's not going to be fun for them. It's a life ruiner, potentially. But there's also the potential for the opposite. Right now there's the potential for any outcome, really. Luigi is in custody. It's only been a few days. Who knows what the future holds? Seriously, America is fucking nuts, and what a strange way to end the year. And by the way, why is Luigi so famous, but the guy who tried to kill Trump isn't? I don't even remember that kid's name. So one of the things we know about Luigi, this young man with a lot of potential, a bright mind and a murderous streak, is that he read a lot of self-help type books, and this we know from his Goodreads page. Luigi's reading list has a kind of bland, didactic tone with lots of how-to guides like Can't Hurt Me, Master Your Mind and Defy the Odds, and How to Break Up with Your Phone, The 30-Day Plan to Take Back Your Life. He isn't into novels or fiction. He seems like a young man trying to channel his energies and define his future self, who he's gonna be. Unlike pretty much everyone on planet Earth, I'm not attracted to Luigi, and I'm kind of side-eyeing the big idea to shoot a man dead, even though I do think it was deserved. I just don't think we should jump to any conclusions about Luigi. Killing people is quite a psycho thing to do. And it's sad because now Luigi's life is most likely going to be spent behind bars, which means he'll never be able to go to Hawaii again, which is a real shame because he liked it so much. He wrote two reviews of Hawaiian travel guides on his Goodreads page, The Big Island and Maui Revealed. So that sucks. Obviously, he'll be fine for cash for commissary and he'll always have tons of romantic interests, but he won't be surfing. I mean, he still has quite a future ahead of him if he plays his cards right, but it'll most likely be behind bars, which is terrible. And he might not be able to have conjugal visits. All that remains to be seen. The Menendez brothers haven't been allowed to have sex with their wives in a prison setting. I think Luigi is bi, though, so there might be some sexual opportunities in prigione. There's some talk that Luigi is practicing celibacy, though it's just a rumor, like everything right now, really. We're in a speculative space. Just having a little puff puff on my vape and a little sipsy of my iced latte. So, is Luigi the great young vigilante we've been waiting for? The Luke Skywalker, the Sarah Connor to spark the revolution we're always talking about but never actually doing? Is he a clear-eyed revolutionary? The Robin Hood of 2024? Neo from the Matrix and all that jazz? Or is he a mentally ill white male incel whose actions simply reflect back to us the broken system we're hogtied to?
Oh God.
Jesus Christ.
In Luigi's review of the 4-hour work week, he questions conventional advice and identifies with the author's disdain for accepting things simply because that's the way they are. I feel like he's vibing on a pretty high level here. He sounds grounded in his review. He's showing at least pretensions towards ethical soundness, impatient with arbitrary agreed-upon norms that serve no practical function. He doesn't seem unstable. He seems thoughtful and deliberate. But he's still young as fuck. According to a study commissioned by Nickelodeon, men don't reach emotional maturity until around 43. The Luigi Maggiore of the future may not recognize the Luigi of today. At 26, his prefrontal cortex has only just reached full maturity, and he celebrated that by taking a whole other life. Now what? Will the killing of Brian Thompson move the needle in any direction? I don't know. But what I do know is the issue of American healthcare unifies Trumpers and libs. It fucks up literally everyone's life, except for about 100 rich fucks who don't give a damn about anyone but their own nucleus. I have dual citizenship myself, praise the Lord. I'm from New Zealand and I live in California. In most developed, prosperous countries, there is a public healthcare system. So for me, moving to America, I was truly shook to have to come to terms with setting money aside every month for a very expensive health insurance premium. In New Zealand, you can have a baby in the hospital for free, or you pay for the parking, could be around $35. Healthcare is covered. You pay to see your doctor, but if you need like a hip replacement, brain surgery, if you get into a car accident, that shit is covered. Here, if you have a catastrophic event and you have health insurance, you'll still get a big, often life-wrecking bill. Still. So you pay hundreds, sometimes thousands every month to an insurance company. You may never claim anything. But when you do, when you really fucking need it, they'll deny it or you'll still have a high copay. It's just fucking sick and fucked up. I hate it. And I really think that the insecurity Americans live with around healthcare is one of the roots of all the hate and violence in this country because it's very scary. Living in a state of fear and insecurity is this very existential threat. It leads to impulsive, violent actions, or in Luigi's case, deliberate and planned violent actions. So right now, all eyes are on Luigi. He's a folk hero fetish object. Don't shoot me, but I don't really see the sexual attraction myself. He's not my type at all. I don't like the bushy brows. He's too jacked. In fact, one of his picks on Goodreads is bigger, leaner, stronger, the simple science of building the ultimate male body. He gave it 4 stars and called it the introduction to weightlifting. But yeah, sexually, he's too young and he's kind of freaky for that murder. But I need to start reading books again and weight loading, to be honest. So maybe via Luigi's book journey, we can learn a little bit about this guy and his worldview as a young adult moving into an undeniably frightening future. So let's slide a book off Luigi's Goodreads shelf. The last quote Luigi liked on Goodreads was one from The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. And that quote is, "Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not." Luigi gave The Lorax 5 stars. He loves it. So let's get into The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. Okay, so it's been ages since I read The Lorax. And upon this reread, I have to say I found it really depressing. It's about this guy, the Onesler, who basically colonizes and industrializes this super adorable valley that has its own uniquely cute biodiversity, just balanced to perfection, centered around these trees, the Truffula tree. They look like fluffy, colorful lollipops. So the Onesler comes to town, starts chopping down the trees to make knitwear, pillaging the valley's resources. Once all the trees go, the natural balance is completely fucked up, which causes the forest creatures, the barbaloots and the swimmy swans and the humming fish to vacate. And then the Lorax, the Lorax is this little orange fluffy guy who's the guardian of the trees, a native son, if you will, speaking for the trees. And all throughout the Onesler's takeover of the valley, the Lorax is banging on his door and telling him to fucking stop it because it's messing up everyone's lives. The Onesler doesn't care, or rather he has like an inkling of care inside him. He feels like bad, but asserts that whilst he feels badly about the pollution and the deforestation his knitwear company is causing, the nature of business is to grow bigger and bigger, and he hath no choice but to continue raping and pillaging the natural resources to make and sell his product to the masses. Basically, it's a shame, but cash rules. Eventually, the area is totally fucked. It's so polluted and ruined in the valley that the Lorax finally leaves too. He picks himself up and leaves via a hole in the smog overhead and is never seen or heard from again. He leaves behind the word "unless" carved on like a rock or something. And that's where the quote comes from. "Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not." So yeah, The Lorax, a depressing environmental fairy tale allegory, came out in 1971. It was the first children's book to explore the environmental impact at the intersection of industry, capitalism, and ego. It was read to us in primary school in the 80s. And it was quite a horrific experience hearing about such things as a child, but it seemed like we had a long time to correct things. Nothing seemed as terrible as losing whole species, entire rainforests, and it just felt like surely this wasn't a foregone conclusion and that someone would work this out, but no one stepped up to that pile of rocks left by the Lorax, and the word "unless" may remain unclaimed. We have Greta Thunberg, who seems to be more than the sum of her parts. Do we maybe also have Luigi Maggiore? And what about us as individuals? That's a question for us. Luigi liking the Lorax quote is just so on the nose. This guy is bashing us over the head with the obvious, but he's 26. Still so young and dumb. I was thinking about what I was doing at 26. At 26, I was the owner of a tattoo studio, just starting out. I'd been a teenager in Auckland, and back then I remember seeing this super cool, super beautiful girl around town. Rumor had it that she was the ex-girlfriend of a Beastie Boy or something. And she had a big Dr. Seuss tattoo on her arm, the cat in the hat. And on the other arm, she had a big Scooby-Doo. I thought those tattoos were so cool. I still do. And then one day, years later, when I was around 26, she came into my tattoo shop and got those tattoos covered up with traditional Japanese sleeves. And I thought it was so sad. She was getting rid of those old ones. But at the end of the day, Her actions illustrate how we grow and change. And the nice thing about tattoos is a skilled artist can craft an amazing cover-up so well that you can't see what was there before. Not so with a murder conviction. That is something a Japanese tattoo can't cover. Maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's not. Join the book club by subscribing to this podcast and rating it 5 stars. Share it. And on the next episode, we delve into a book that Luigi found disappointing. A Hard Kick in the Nuts, What I've Learned from a Lifetime of Terrible Decisions by Steve O. I'm Sofia Caramella, meditating on Luigi Maggiano's bookshelf. Until we meet again, delay, deny, depose. Peace out.